Hello, everyone. My name is Bria, and I work with the Alliance for Self-Directed Education as the community manager. And this is our first episode of the podcast. I'm here today with Alexander Coast, who is the editor-in-chief of Tipping Points Magazine, the Alliance's online magazine dedicated to sharing the voices of the movement. Today, Alex and I are interviewing Jane, who is a 16-year-old self-directed novelist who talks about her experience in conventional high school, her writing process, how to safely skip class so you can actually learn, the rights of young people, and how her fellow students feel about their high school experience. We're so excited to share this episode with you. It's the first podcast by the Alliance, so please send us your reactions, your questions, or any ideas or requests you have for future topics or interviews. You can send these to us by emailing bria@selfdirected.org. That's bria@self-directed.org. So I give you the show.
Same here. okay, so why don't you just introduce yourself briefly?
All right. Hi, I'm Jane. I'm a writer. I'm 16 years old now. And I don't really know what else to say.
That's great. How did you come to find out about self-directed education and specifically about ASD?
I kind of got to the point where I was like, I don't really like school, and I would like to see if there are any other alternatives to school. So I basically just searched around on the internet and stumbled across it. That's pretty much it. I'm on the internet a lot, and I found a John Taylor Gatto book. I read it, and I was like, this is a good idea. And as for how I found the ASDE, ASDA, I don't know how you pronounce it. It kind of showed up on the results for self-directed education, and I decided, hey, I'll just email them and see what happens.
So where did you go from there? Like, after you discovered these ideas, what were you thinking and what did you want to do with these ideas?
I thought, hey, this is a much better idea than the current education system. I mean, first of all, it seems more adapted to the 21st century and to modern methods of learning than the current education system. And I thought, is there any possible way that I can convince my parents to do this? Turns out, no, there isn't. But I still think it's a very cool idea, and I would like to move in that direction with my education.
So are you in, like, a conventional kind of public school right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
not right now, because school just got out.
For right. Summer, yeah.
Which is amazing.
Go ahead.
I would like to have a more self-directed approach to my education.
Do you feel there's any way to, like, weave that in, or does, like, your schooling kind of take up most of your time and energy because of how it's managed?
Currently, my method for schooling is skip as much class as possible. And just kind of do my own thing, I guess. I try to learn things on my own within the system. And by that I mean skip class and hide in the one teacher's room who will let me skip class in there. I like to work on web design, learning Italian, a few other things.
So you said there's a teacher that lets you skip class. Have you been able to, like, find allies in this?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm in the extended learning program, the kind of gifted education thing. And our teacher is amazing in there. He lets kids skip class in his classroom. if you have anxiety or if you need a break from school, he will excuse you for that class period.
Mm-hmm. May I ask, it's Alex, have you tried introducing the concept of self-directed education to this particular teacher?
He actually has a John Taylor Gatto book in his room.
Okay.
He's amazing. He is an amazing teacher. He has that. He has this bookshelf full of all these education books. He has the the F in exams book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has that one. He's an amazing teacher.
But you found out about self-directed education independent of this particular teacher.
Yes, through the internet.
Oh, interesting.
So can you tell us more about your educational upbringing? Were you always in conventional school? Did
yeah.
you go to like a preschool or daycare as a kid? Like, what was that?
I think for a preschool, my parents had me in this, I think, Montessori thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really remember it. I've gone to public school my entire life.
Did your parents also have a similar education experience?
Yeah. My mom went to public school and my dad also went to public school. So
you said that you are learning Italian and you're a writer. How have you gone about learning those things, especially with school taking up a lot of your time? Like, what are the avenues you've been using?
I'm interested in a lot of languages. I mean, currently I pick up textbooks and kind of self-teaching guides at a thrift shop that is near my house. Mm-hmm. Currently I have books on Spanish and Portuguese, French, Dutch, Serbo-Croatian, and picked up a bunch of them.
Have you been able to find any like other friends or other people in your school that also are interested in self-directed education, or are you kind of on your own?
I did That's a survey, right. Because yeah. I did an article for my journalism class. Yeah, I did an article for my journalism class on it, and I got, let me just pull it up here. I got a bunch of different responses on it. And I think if I remember correctly, there were about 8% of the students I surveyed who had heard of self-directed education or some form of it before, which was pretty cool. Mostly what I got is students despise the school system. Kids don't like school. New concept there. I asked what they thought about the current model of education, the current school system, and I think I got about 5 people who said it sucks. Nothing else.
Do you feel that they had ideas for alternatives, or are most people just in the it sucks phase and aren't sure what to do about it?
I feel like kids naturally want to learn, and no matter what you're doing, I think you're learning in some way. For example, even kids who just sit around and play video games all day, you're learning different skills from playing those video games. Like, I'm not really a gamer person, but you could be learning various strategies for overcoming problems. You could be learning how computers work. There are so many things you can do through video games, even. But they're written off as this just a pure form of entertainment and having no actual learning attached to them, because I feel like our perception of learning as a society is geared entirely towards schooling.
So you think that the other like students at the school still have that perception? They're still stuck in that?
I think yeah, in a way. I mean, I asked whether they thought that one of my questions was, do you think that learning is possible without grading? And the vast majority of students said that it was not.
Whoa.
Which kind of shocked me. Because, I mean, even before you go to school, you learn how to walk, you learn how to speak, you learn basic letters and numbers. So obvious, it's such an easily disproven idea, but it's still completely persistent
throughout
the minds of most people, I would say.
And even people who maybe hate getting grades still think that they're necessary for some reason. That's shocking to me.
Yeah, the term necessary evil floated around.
How was your article received by like the school and the students?
It actually didn't get published because I turned it in on like the second to last day of school because I worked on it for a really long time. I actually failed the class, but oh well.
It's not important. Can you publish it next year? Like, do you have the sense that they would publish it?
Yeah, I hope so. Teacher said that maybe we would consider publishing it in like an early edition of next year's paper. So that
have you considered being an advocate for yourself and other students in your school and trying to voice within the school change?
A little bit, I guess. My main avenue for doing that would be through the school paper. I'm not really a student council type of person.
It seems like you're already kind of advocating through the articles you're writing. I'd just be interested to see how people respond in the school and what that evolves into, if anything.
I did notice throughout the survey that people, well, they like the idea of not having the constraints of school on them. I asked how it affected their mental health, and most people said it was had a very negative impact on them. They still think that it's a necessary thing, and that they need that kind of oversight to properly learn.
It's amazing how people can list the amount of negative effects and how horrible something is, and yet they still deeply believe that they can't do it on their own without the system.
I think, like, I heard this one, jerk one says, what's the difference between the United States government and the mafia? The mafia doesn't have a 15,000 hour instructional program to teach you that it is a god.
Oh, that's poignant.
I mean, I feel like from people who have gone to public school their entire lives, you are taught from a very young age that it's good for you, you know, and that you need it to succeed.
I'm curious, Alex, if you felt that, because I know you made a transition, not sure when, if you felt that school was necessary or if you immediately saw that it wasn't the right thing. I didn't go to school, so I don't have that perspective, but
it's interesting. I was actually your age, Jane, when I hadn't read John Taligato. I started with Summerhill and A.S. Neal. But up until being 16 years old, I had never considered that there could be an alternative. And certainly, had I been asked the questions you surveyed your class, I think I probably would have given a lot of the same answers. I think that conventionality is so ingrained in the way we think about things that when you're introduced to an alternative, sometimes it takes a while to for those seeds to grow and thoughts to form around it. It's quite remarkable to me how much you understand it so much better than I did at your age.
Yeah, we searched the, because in the beginning of the year, my favorite teacher, our extended learning program teacher, he did this unit on the history of education. We went very far back to the very beginnings of it, and then he told us about the modern day schooling system and how it had come about, and I thought that was very interesting. But I feel like that's when my perspective changed a lot, because I got to learn where it all started. I mean, the Prussian system of education, which we're based on, was introduced in, I think it was the late 1700s and the early 1800s, and then God, what was his name? It was brought over to the US by Horace Mann in 1840. And then in 1892, 10 men standardized it so that it would be the same across all states. And it hasn't significantly changed since then. I mean, that's 126 years where our system of educating students has not changed.
Meanwhile,
which,
yeah, living all around us constantly changes. And it's so few people know that history. Yeah. I laid out the same history for a group of early childhood educators recently, and they were also surprised. None of them knew where it came from. It's shocking that we don't know our educational history. It's not taught in schools, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be shocked if that weren't an intentional thing on the school's part. But I think that history class especially is geared towards, in public schools, what the U.S. government wants you to hear. I mean, you're never taught about the faults of our own government, no matter where you live, really.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book that you wrote?
I wrote a book called Blue-Haired Killer Queen. It is about a fantasy world or galaxy several thousand years in the future, and the protagonist is a mass murderer who has been tasked with essentially saving the galaxy from certain destruction. I've been working on it since two or three years. It's been working on it a while. But I just recently published it, and I've never felt that sense of joy that I felt when I got the paperback copy of my book in the mail. It's amazing.
What avenue did you use to publish it? Like, what was that process like for you?
I used Kindle Direct Publishing, which is kind of an offshoot of Amazon. And I published through that. I mean, Amazon has two publishing venues, I guess. It has KDP, which is kind of newer, and it has CreateSpace. And I used Kindle Direct Publishing for that.
Do you plan to write more books?
I've always kind of enjoyed writing, and I wrote my first kind of novel sort of thing in sixth grade. I did NaNoWriMo for the first time. NaNoWriMo is a National Novel Writing Month, and it's this giant kind of internet project where everybody gets together and makes the decision to write 50,000 words in a month. Which rounds out to, I think it's 1,667 words a day.
I've heard of that. Do you get together with people physically, or is it more just like a support group online that you did?
It depends on the time of year. And I mean, because it's in November, that's when the big one is. And most like local libraries will set up kind of a National Novel Writing Month thing. For anyone who's interested, because NaNoWriMo has for every kind of area, physical area, you have an ML or a municipal liaison for NaNoWriMo who kind of sets up events. I don't really go to the events very much. I prefer just writing at home. And then there's also in April and July, there are the Camp NaNoWriMos, where they put you in a virtual cabin and you have kind of an online chat room where you get to converse with other writers who are on the same page, I guess, as you. I've been doing it for about 5 years. I did it for the first time in sixth grade. Or when I was about.
So do you have other novels that you've written, or have you kind of started a lot and not finished them?
Yeah. Yes to both of those questions. It's,
the life of a writer.
I have so many little just 50 pagers that have never been finished, and I have other novels that I've written that will never see the light of day.
This is maybe a ridiculous question, but as a writer, How is English class in school for you? Is it at all helpful? Is it awful? Did you not go skip to write your books?
I skipped eighth grade English, and I did. In eighth grade, I did ninth grade, and in ninth grade, I did 10th grade English. So now in 10th grade, I don't have an English class. It was amazing. I didn't really have one. I did actually try to start, because in 11th grade, the English class is split up into two different semesters, and one of them is Great Books, where you learn about a bunch of classics that nobody cares about now, and Composition and Rhetoric, which is writing about things that nobody cares about now. And I had Comp and Ret, which is the honors version of Composition and Perception, because it's also complicated for some reason. I did part of that class. It was a semester long, and we did this giant paper, and I got very panicky, and the night before it, I had a panic attack and deleted the entire thing, night before it was due. And I had to kind of, I guess, drop out of that class.
What made you panic?
It was due. I did not have it done. It did not feel perfect. I have OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. And for me, part of that is I want to feel as though everything is completely perfect. School does not have a great impact on my mental health. I panicked the night before it was due, and I was like, I can't turn this in. It's not perfect. It's not good enough. And I basically panicked.
I'm curious, Jane, now with that in mind, coming to saying, yes, this is done to your own novel that you just published, where the only person giving you a deadline is yourself. Was that easier for you? Did it take you a while to come to an end? Like, when did you know you were done?
I still don't know that I'm done. Like, my brain has not settled yet. Basically, I worked for about 48 hours straight, I think it was, and I was so tired that I just decided to screw this up and publish it. And that worked pretty well. There are some typos in my book, and I'm trying to let them rest, but yeah. My method for meeting my own deadlines is basically just getting the point where I'm so tired and so bored of working on the same thing when I know that some part of me that's done, that I just say, screw this.
It's interesting. I've my older brother is a composition and rhetoric professor, and he said that he advises his students, you know, you're done when you're sick of it and you don't want to read it anymore.
Yeah.
I think I had about 14 drafts of my book. And it's 300 pages long, so going through all of that hundreds of times was pretty exhausting.
Now, I know you also do illustration. Were there any illustrations to go along with this book? You did do some of the character, no?
I draw the characters because it helps me visualize them, and it helps me kind of write them better, physical description-wise, and I did not do any illustrations.
Actually, inside the book, you didn't do any. You used so it's a tool just for your own methods of writing. Interesting.
Yeah, I do want to write a graphic novel at some point. I feel like that would be really fun. Right now, I'm working on like 3D animation stuff too. So I feel like my art is kind of separate from my writing. I don't
know. Interesting.
What kind of advice, somehow you find time for all this, maybe it's just who you are or skipping classes, but what kind of
Yeah.
Is that the advice you would give other people in high school if they wanted to do self-directed education? Like, what would you say to someone if someone came up and said, hey, I read your article in the paper. I really want to do this. My parents won't let me leave school. What should I do?
Leave school. Do it anyways. It's awesome. I feel like, because until even this year, I didn't really skip class a lot. And I just kind of was like, well, I'm stuck in this situation. I'm going to just go to the class, do the boring things, all of that. And it kind of, and I didn't like, because like you, through the education system, you gain like slowly, they give you tiny increments of freedom. Like in elementary school, if you tried to skip class, you would be doomed. Yeah. It's impossible. I've tried. It's because you're constantly in the same classroom. You don't get up to leave ever. You're literally stuck in one desk for 7 hours straight.
Yeah.
For 7 hours straight. It is impossible to escape. And then even in junior high, which in my school district, it kind of varies because in my school district, that is 7th through 9th, but in some it's 6th through 8th grade. You still, you can't, it's very difficult to actually get out of that, because even though you are allowed to, like, roam the school, everything's still very structured, and you can't really leave. It's very difficult. Again, I've tried. They actually, if you're too late to class, they will call your parents and they'll be like, we can't find your kid. Tell me where your kid is, basically. And then if you are absent too many times, they send your parents this kind of mean letter where they're like, hey, send your kid to class more or we will put you in jail for 10 days.
And that's in grade 6, 12, yeah. And 12 years old.
No, it's just in general. You can, if you miss too many days of school, your parents can get sent to jail or they have $1,000 fine. So yeah, I would advise to any student who's looking to kind of ditch class more, look that up and find out what your district allows you to, how much school your district allows you to miss. Because you can actually get into some pretty not great stuff with that.
So
even in high school, if you skip too many classes in one row, they do call your parents and they're like, where is she at?
So feel free not to answer any of this if it feels like you don't want to. Are you like skipping just enough classes to not have people notice? Do teachers really not notice you're not there? Yeah. Or do they not care enough to?
They report you absent and then you get a detention, or rather you get your, one of the principals assigned to you sends you an email that basically says, hi, you were reported absent for this class. You have a detention. In elementary school, they don't really do detentions. And then in junior high, they do detention, but it's more enforced. Like they will call you into the office and they'll say, hey, you need to be here at this time and you need to do the detention and serve it right now. And then in high school, they basically just leave it up to you as to when to serve them. I never serve mine, and because I've pretty much found out that if you make it long enough, they just don't follow up at all.
Wow,
it's awesome.
You really learned how to work the system. You have a lot of knowledge about how to work that system.
Yeah, I should write a book on this.
You should write a book on this.
Could be a handbook for kids stuck in school.
I know some kids who actually monitor how many detentions they have. I have a friend who, I think that by the end of this year, they had over 47. I think it was 47 that they had detentions. And just because they skipped so much class.
Are you?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
If you don't serve your detentions by the end of the year, we have this, instead of lunch, we have this thing called power hour, where you basically are supposed to eat your lunch and go and talk to teachers and catch up on class. And the juniors and seniors, the 11th and 12th graders, can leave school and drive and get food from various takeout places. And if you don't do your detentions by the end of the year, the next year, you are put on basically, you're watched more closely during power hour. Mm. You have to report to a specific classroom and you're not allowed to leave, that kind of thing. I plan on just not showing up to that. It'll work fantastically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had another question. I lost it. Oh, Are you just not going to graduate? I mean, obviously, I don't think it really matters, but for any like high schoolers who might be listening, have you just made peace with I won't get a diploma, or are you going to get one anyway?
I figure I'm going to get one probably. Okay. I don't. My theory is that eventually teachers will get so bored of having me in the exact same class every year that they'll just pass me. Which is,
I love this theory. I really hope you're right.
No, it actually does, work. As an I did eighth grade math twice because I basically just screwed off the entire time. And then the next year, they passed me. I did exactly the same thing, and they passed me. So I think they just get bored of having me there.
Yeah.
So I have figured out that this method works fairly decently.
I mean, that's helpful to know because some people in school just feel so stuck, like they have no power, especially if they can't leave. And it sounds like there are things you can do.
Yeah, I mean, because after all the school shootings,
yeah,
our school put on this thing where they automatically lock all the doors, every class. So our school is kind of curved like a C, mm-hmm. And a lot of times there are doors at like either end of the C, and it's easier to just walk outside and go to your next class. And you get to see the sunlight, which is cool. But if you get caught between there, the doors just automatically lock when the bell rings. So you get stuck outside, which is amazing because then you have an excuse to skip. But yeah, it's very, usually there are like school personnel at every door all the time somehow. I don't know how they do it. And then the same was true in junior high. They have school personnel at every exit. So if you want to escape, it is actually very difficult to escape.
Yeah.
Like, especially, like, the younger you are, the harder it is to get out of school.
Yeah. I remember taking a single high school class, and I just immediately hated it because I had never been in that situation before. And I remember, like, dashing out the back door after my class, because even for me to get off campus when I didn't even need to be there, I had to sneak off. Otherwise, they'd be like, aren't you supposed to be here all day? Yeah, to dash out the back door and run off campus.
Yeah. I'm almost always late to school. One time I showed up on time to class, and my teacher said, "Oh, why are you here?" But when you show up to class, they have to like wave you in. The desk person gives you a pass.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, one time I showed up to class and there was literally 2 minutes left until the next class. And they were like, here's a pass, go to class. And it's like, there are 2 minutes left. I'm not even going to make it go to class.
Whoa.
I didn't actually make it to the class. I was 2 feet outside of the door.
Yeah. So what are your plans once you're free? What do you want to do? When you don't have to sneak around school anymore and find ways around the system?
Honestly, I do not know. I know I don't want to go to college. I think that right now, more than ever, it's not very practical. I don't remember where I heard this, but I think 35% of recent college grads regret going.
Yeah.
And then according to this 2016 survey by the firm GradStaff, which is this recent graduate career analyzing firm, I think it was 70% are either unemployed or do not have a job in their field, mm-hmm. recent grads. And then 86%, I believe it was, have no pending job offers. So getting out of college, you're going to have just a ton of debt, potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars of it, and you don't even get a job out of that.
Right.
Like, that is not a good deal.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't have like $50,000 to spare.
Have you considered something, obviously something within writing, but something within children's rights as far as helping other kids not have to.
I do want to I do want to help other students. So I definitely think I'll keep going within this kind of educational activism sphere. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I've, like, college-wise even, a lot of scholarships are built on the idea that either you go to school-sponsored activities or you get good grades. So I'm out there. But I have managed to teach myself several things. I mean, I can code, I can draw, I can write, I can make 3D animation.
You can code. So, you haven't really talked about that
before. Yeah, I can do, I'm pretty fluent in HTML and CSS. I'm trying to learn, SQL is decent on that one. I'm decent on that one. I'm trying to learn the programming language R, because I think that that would be very useful. But I'm struggling to wrap my brain around it. The one I really want to learn right now is JavaScript, because it seems like it's just the universal, everything happens here language.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you want to know programming for some specific reason?
I want to make websites. I want to make apps. And I think it's very cool. I don't have an actual practical reason for it. I think it's cool.
It's a useful skill for everyone, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Day and age. Yeah.
I mean, I have the school system, I think, is they are woefully behind on everything tech related.
On everything related. But yeah.
That too. But we have, at our school, we have one web design class. And I took it this semester, and they still have CS3 Adobe stuff. Mm-hmm. Dreamweaver CS3, we spent like a month on that. It was really boring. because I'm not a fan of Dreamweaver. I just don't like it. And then we did a Photoshop unit. We also used CS3 for that one because we do not update. They do not update their computers very frequently. And then we learned how to make a website with Wix.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I know. It was.
I don't feel like that's coding. I feel like that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I can make a website with Wix.
No, I've done it. It takes like 30 minutes. It's awesome. We spent over 4 weeks learning how to use Wix. It was amazing. it was like a giant study hall.
Oh.
I watched so many movies.
Oh man. So sorry, go ahead.
And I did get a D+ in that class, which means I technically passed. But yeah, that is the only computer related class in the entire school. The only web class. It is the most technologically advanced class in the school. And it takes them 4 weeks to figure out how to use Wix.
Are there just no teachers for it, or is it just not something the school cares about?
I think a combination of those.
Yeah.
But the Wix was actually an upgrade, because I heard that last year they made it with Google Sites. So it could have been worse.
Have you given them your resume and told them that they should hire you, or?
No, I don't want to be stuck there for any more. Good
point. Well, yeah. What if you just taught instead of took classes for the next 2 years?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. The teacher was pretty nice. She was great, though. She also teaches like the entrepreneurship class, which is actually, I think that might actually be a pretty good class.
Mm-hmm.
What the students do is they split off into two groups and they create fake companies. And then they try and sell stuff to the other students, and whoever makes the most money wins, basically.
Interesting.
Every year it winds up being, like, t-shirts with the school logo on them, sweatshirts with the school logo on them.
So it's always the same companies? There aren't any original ideas?
Like, this year it was a windbreaker company. They had like two products. It was a they made windbreakers with the school logo on them and windbreakers with like the sports team on them. And then what sports team I could not tell you. Then they then the other team did sweatshirts and hoodies, the exact same things.
And that's just products too. No one's thinking about services.
No.
I wonder why.
Yeah. And then you'd see posters just tacked up around the school. So, buy a windbreaker. It's $35. That's a good deal.
Yeah, it seems like a good premise to a class, but it's obviously not working.
Yeah, it. I actually had to write an article on it. The teacher is awesome, but the classes themselves are just. I feel like they're very behind.
Yeah.
Especially with like with web design and technology stuff, it's really noticeable when something's behind. Because every year is like a decade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean every year is a decade? Can you elaborate on that?
Like in technology and web design stuff, it seems like every year is a decade because like every year is, there are like 5 new coding languages that you absolutely have to learn.
Yeah.
And these 10 are just completely out the window and they're useless now. And everything moves very fast.
Yeah.
Technology wise. So trying to have a solid class on that is really difficult because you have to alter the curriculum every single year,
mm-hmm.
which they should be doing anyways, but they don't. I mean, like I've retaken a couple classes and what I found out is they pretty much use exactly the same stuff.
In every class always, no matter the subject.
Yeah. I mean, when I did eighth grade math, I mentioned twice. And I even found out that they use like, I was like, I'm going to keep, I kept my homework from the first year and I could use it over again.
Wow.
It was amazing. No, because they give exactly the same problems. A lot of them use exactly the same PowerPoints. So it's pretty easy if you have to repeat classes.
I wonder how much of that is teacher boredom too. They just don't want to take the time to innovate because it's not worth it.
I mean, it really isn't in that point. It's the teachers always seem very bored.
Yeah.
I have some teachers who I think don't even like students, and some of them have just perpetually. It seems like they've lost their will to live.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Like there are teachers who just they give you the nastiest looks when you ask simple questions about the material. Sometimes I ask them how their subject is practically useful, and that does not go over well.
I think they'd be excited to explain that to you. Like,
my math teacher does not like me because of that.
Oh.
She's the only teacher whose class I don't regularly skip because I'm scared of her.
Hmm.
She is terrifying.
Yeah. I wonder what would happen if you surveyed teachers with similar questions to the ones you used for students and what their answers would be like.
Newspaper-wise, you have to be pretty careful with the teachers, though.
Mm.
Early in the year, somebody did this article and they quoted the teachers saying that they wanted more break time. They wanted like more vacation days. And the administration came up at us. It was awesome. Our teacher was like, we have to correct this because I need a job. I mean, they probably wouldn't, they wouldn't have fired him or anything, but still it's very, like, you don't mess around with the administration. They will then.
Maybe with your coding skills, you can start your own online underground school newspaper.
Yeah.
How would it be underground, Alex?
Yeah, Diane.
Well, not an official school newspaper.
Yeah. A school newspaper is read by almost everyone at the school, so if there's something that the administration does not like, they will tell you.
That's why I'm curious their reaction to your article, when, if it comes out.
Well, I can't be in any more trouble than I already am by default, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you would be in trouble, but I guess I'm naive about how schools work in the first place. I just want to know how, like, mm-hmm. how administration will feel and if they'll get upset about it. Or if anyone will change their ideas.
Honestly, the administration is, like, they're pretty easy to run from. They don't move very fast. It's, oh, I found, my survey finally pulled up. Okay, so I asked, is grading necessary for education? 68% said yes.
Did you ask what
and then I asked that,
or do you have any idea? Do you have any idea why they think it's necessary?
No, okay. It's like in a pie chart.
Yeah.
I just asked yes or no. And then I asked, what is more important to you, the high school diploma or the high school education? And 51.5% said they would rather have a diploma.
Which is crazy to me too, because high school diplomas aren't even necessary anymore. Like, you, or you can just get a GED. It doesn't actually
matter. Yeah, that is actually very good advice. I will have to look into that. My parents are very concerned with the high school diploma.
Or get one from Beach High School.
Beach High School. Oh,
I do have to. Yeah. I still have to email them. Yeah. I also asked, what percent of time are you bored during school? And I got this wonderfully colorful pie chart. 10%, for 10% of the time, I had 1% of the students. Same for 20. For 30% of the time, I had 8% of the students. The largest, like, section on the pie chart is 80% of the time at 19.6% of the students. Most of the students are bored most of the time. See, it's 10.2%, that would be 89.8% of the students are bored 40% of the time.
Or wow.
Yeah. I also asked, so bored. I asked also, how much do you learn? And most of the students said they learned some things. It's my fault for putting that vague amount of, that vague answer on the question. But I also asked, if you didn't go to school, how would you learn differently?
That's a good one.
And the largest response I got was, so I had like, you could select responses that I had written out, or you could write your own. And the largest one was, I would develop more interests. And then following that was, I would be happier, and I would learn more useful skills.
Didn't you also say, though, that a lot of them thought they needed to be coerced or...
Yeah. The fourth largest one was, I would feel too unstructured. Yeah, and then somebody responded, I would be jack of all trades, master of the seas. Someone said I would have less anxiety, I wouldn't be as stressed, I'd learn through employment, I would learn more about what I want to do and be, I would learn the ways of the street and kung fu, I would go into the wild and live among the tigers. Students are awesome. Then I asked, what impact does it have on your mental health? Two people said just poor. I got testing stresses me out, makes me feel anxious, makes me retarded like vaccines.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a stress source. It's really overwhelming because if you miss a day, it can be difficult to catch up. I have a solution for this person, just miss all the days. It's a lot easier that way. Lots of stressfulness, and one person just said, what is sleep?
No,
everybody bonds over the shared lack of sleep. I think my anxiety disorder came from school. The stress affects us so much. Stresses me the F out. I need a really long nap for a long, long, long time. I stress about homework and I don't know how to handle it, and the teachers just throw more homework on top of it as though that helps. Anxiety disorder drives me insane and depresses me. Can make you more social, but also has the same chance to make you really depressed. School causes my mental health to fluctuate a lot. Very bad, lol. Mentally broken down. Stresses me out and makes me feel like I have no control over my own life. What can I do about it, though? Stress, depression, I feel like an object, same thing every day. Makes me cry a lot. It takes away things I find joy in, and it takes a huge toll on me. I feel terrible about myself every day. I usually break down crying because I feel so stupid and I'm so stressed out. Some days I would really just like to drop out and get a job. Like, I have this mindset in my classes, like, whatever, this is going to help me in life, and most of my teachers will never have an answer for that question. I find myself wanting to be a happy person, but when it comes to school, I want to put my earbuds in and leave. Major anxiety problems. Lots of stress because it's 7 hours plus homework, along with trying to balance time with friends, family, and myself. I don't sleep. School has made my mental health state worse from the start of sophomore year, and nobody talks about how your mental health is just as important as your physical health, and nobody at this high school cares as long as you're passing. Hurts my brain. I want to kill myself. It makes me really disappointed in my life decisions. I'm tired and annoyed. I'm gone. Bad. I'm all right. I literally have a breakdown 3 times a week and I'm sick of this. School has no impact on me. Keeps me at a moderate state. I am overstressed and I feel like school is just a game I have to play at the end of the day. I recognize that schooling is my thing and I go through the motions. I treat my education as a task. Makes me tired. So yeah. Students, I read this one, the average high schooler now experiences as much anxiety as 1950s mental patients. So, yeah.
That mental health thing is huge. And all the, like, mainstream discussions about reforming school, it never comes up. They're ignoring it. They don't think school could possibly be the source of mental health issues. And it's huge.
Yeah. I mean, mental health-wise, like, everybody has anxiety. Everybody has depression. Everybody is going to, just winds up with mental illness stuff, issues. I had one person who, if I can find it, said, makes everybody stressed out and getting mental disorders. And that is completely true. I mean, honestly, I don't think I know a single person. Well, I know one person who doesn't have a mental health issue at all. But other than that, most students I know have mental health issues. They're depressed, they're stressed. And as students, there's not a lot that you can do about that.
Yeah, and I feel like a big part of mental health is feeling like you're stuck and you have no power. And when you feel that way, it's really hard to address it or help yourself.
I mean, like, even like the physical environment, I think, takes a toll on it. I mean, you can say, I feel like I'm trapped all the time, but in school you are literally trapped all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot leave. It is amazingly difficult. Like, and then most students will try and evade the administration. For example, if you don't serve your detentions, they will literally try and call you up to their office. They will track you down. They will find you. They will make you go to detention. So you have trying to evade them and get to class at the same time. It's a very prison-like environment, I guess. You're constantly stuck in one place all the time. I also asked the question, what is homework? The leading response was total waste of time, followed by a necessary evil. Oof. Yeah. So I think the whole thing is they hate it, they're stressed out, and they're depressed, but they also think it's necessary. Which I would argue that if something results in panic attacks, sleep deprivation, and just this constant state of stress, then it can't possibly be necessary, but apparently not.
Jane, do you feel better since you've been skipping class? Like, has it helped you, your mental health?
Oh, yeah. I haven't gotten, like, actually good grades since about 7th grade. But I haven't really been able to skip class until this year because it's actually extremely difficult.
Because of your age now it's easier, or because you figured it out?
Yeah. Well, I think a combination of them. But in junior high, it is basically impossible to skip class, and especially skipping it in the whole ditching it sense. Like actually leaving school property is really difficult in junior high. I remember they had lunch for lunchtime. Everybody has to be in the cafeteria. I don't really eat lunch. I'm vegan. It's very hard at school. Their version of a salad is too pathetic. It is two lettuce leaves and a slice of tomato that have been sitting in their freezer for months. It's horrifying.
They actually have lettuce.
And then at the last week of school, they do this thing called Chef Special, which basically means they take all of the uneaten food out of the freezer. You can always tell what it is, like, and where it's from. I remember this year, in the beginning of the year, they switched the type of Bosco sticks they made.
I don't even know what those are.
It's not really food per se, but it's like this grease-laden bread wrapped around this disgusting excuse for cheese. And it's basically
like cheese, right? Yeah, like cheese sticks.
Beyond all. It's like a cheese stick, but take a cheese stick and then take out of that cheese stick what makes cheese sticks appealing and food, and then you have a school Bosco. It's deep fried beyond all recognition. I could talk about school lunch for hours, but yeah, I don't like eating the cafeteria. There's not a place on earth more. It makes you more repulsed by the idea of eating. But in junior high, you actually have to go to the cafeteria. They will not let you not be in the cafeteria. I remember in like 7th grade, I was like, trying to go to the library to get a book because I was done eating, and they actually didn't let you get up from the tables. So I got up from the table and I tried to go to the library, and the counselor stopped me and was like, there's still lunchtime left. And it's like, well, I'm done eating. Can I go to the library? And they were like, no, there's still lunchtime left. Sit down. Because you're not allowed to actually get up from the table until your lunchtime is over. So, like, you are pretty much constantly watched until a certain point. By the time I was in, like, 8th or 9th grade, though, I would just hang out in the restrooms the entire time, which was actually cleaner than the cafeteria, so that was good. And it smelled more.
So if you never go into the lunchroom, they can't keep you there. Is that the idea? Yeah.
That's the idea. They will still catch you, though, so I was dragged out of bathroom stalls so many times. Yeah. So once you get to high school, they actually let you decide where you want to eat. Although in the middle of the year, they did actually ban us from eating in the halls and from eating outside and from eating in classrooms. We had like two places left to eat. But they banned us because we were talking too loudly.
Oh. All right. That's a very bleak picture.
School teaches socialization, right? Yeah.
You...
And then, of course, the second we got that privilege back, everyone in my grades, you know, my lunch group started to play the penis game again. Because what else do you do with the new game privilege? Yeah.
Okay. I'm just like...
Lunchtime is still the best time to ditch, though.
Well, are you allowed off campus during lunch?
I'm not. I'm not allowed to skip class either, though. So.
Right.
Yeah. I try to go to some of the afternoon classes, though, because I'm scared of the teachers. my math teacher is terrifying. I have the same math teacher next year, but some of the teachers are genuinely scary. I also asked the students if they could remake the education system, what would it look like? And, well, this was a loaded question. no standards-based grading, because we did stand... this year, the school kind of switched over to standards-based grading. If you guys looked into that at all?
No.
Okay. So instead of the classic, like, you get on every assignment, you get, like, an A, B, C, or percentage grade, basically what they did is they moved it to standards-based grading, which is you get ranked 1 through 4, which is terrifying. It's awful.
Okay.
And, no, because if you get a 4, it means... I think that most of them are trying to move in that direction. They think it's a better grading system, and it's part of their school reform plan. It doesn't work, and it's awful. I can't believe I'm saying this, but take me back to the A's, B's, C's, and D's. Basically, let me see if I can find... Because they give you a sheet. They actually... every time they grade your test, they pass out this sheet, and they're like, here is how we're grading them. They give you sheets to explain it, how their grading system works, because nobody can figure it out. Basically, if you get a 1, it's like the low one. It's low. 1 is the lowest, 4 is the highest. And then to pass on your tests, you get a test back, and it's like a 1 through 4 in certain objectives, sections of the test based on the same learning thing. It's hard to explain because I don't understand it fully myself. And then you have to get to pass the class, you have to get a certain number of 4s in every strand. This new grading standard is used for math. They're trying to implement it in English too. We used it a little bit in science, but they're slowly moving towards it. It's awful and it's useless.
Do you know why? Like, are they trying to make everyone's lives more complicated? What's the goal?
I think, in my opinion, the primary goal of this is to make everybody standardized. Right. It's just basically standardized, is to turn us all into easily reportable numbers. You know, because we all have ID numbers, and your grades have your ID number attached to them. So I think the goal is to, 5 or 10 years from now, be able to say, student 1867542 has obtained a 4 or a 3, or the proper number to pass that grade. It's supposed to be more simple eventually.
That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
It reads like 1984 double speak.
That's what I was thinking.
Double plus good. Student has a 4. It's... But yeah, it's...
Wow.
Well,
I even got a couple of 4s. I feel proud of myself. Am I supposed to?
I just want to let you know that I'm giving you a 4 on this interview.
Alex, thank you.
I do think we have to wrap up because of time. Are there any final like words of advice you want to give students other than skip class and you can do it even if you're forced to go to school? That was my brief summary.
Let's see. The tension is useless. Don't go to that. Most classes are useless. Don't go to them either. Read John Taylor Gatto books. Read as many books as possible. kind of like there's this one website I go to a lot called school-survival.net. It opens up with a message: it is okay to hate school, there is nothing wrong with you. I would recommend go to that website, surf it all. Also question the school more. Yeah, that's my advice, is basically skip class, question the school system, and do what you want to do because it is your life and you are in control of your own life because it's yours.
That's great. You also said to look up the laws or like the school regulations for skipping class. Yeah. Where are you finding that information?
Like not about skipping class specifically, but about the number of days you are allowed to miss. Look up that. Look up your laws. Figure out what your rights are. For example, if you use your phone in class, most teachers are just going to take your phone away and shove it in their desk until the day is done. Most students are not going to question that because teachers have the authority. But at the same time, it's also your property, and you should have the right to personal property. You should have the right to not have your stuff taken away. You should have the right not to have your backpack searched if the teachers suspect something. So find out what your rights are, and then exercise them, basically. Your rights, like freedom of association, that's a fundamental right. You have the right to associate with whoever you want at any time. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. I'm not sure though. So you should have the right to say if you want to meet up with other students in the hallway and talk. You have that right. You have the right to free speech. So exercise that. Legally, they cannot stop you from raising your hand and saying, I'm bored now, I'm going to leave class. I actually did that once. It didn't go over very well. You can legally do it. It's much better just to not show up in the first place, and I think the teachers will like you more if you do that.
That's good advice.
If you're going to just randomly walk out of class, raise your hand, ask to go to the bathroom, take your stuff with you, and just never come back. Most students will have figured this out already, though. Also, like, skipping methods for, like, it's much harder to skip if you are younger. Asking to use the bathroom works pretty well. Sometimes they don't let you go because they can't have more than a few students out at one time, which is ridiculous. In detention, also, they will not let you use the bathroom a lot. I think you get like 2 breaks in an hour period. So it's becoming harder and harder to use that excuse. But just standing up and walking out sometimes works. They don't chase you.
And they can't touch you.
Oh, yeah, they can't.
Yeah, teachers are very, like, one time I saw a student hug a teacher. They are very, like, no, 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 don't touch me. I'm not legally allowed to do that.
Oh. Even if it's, like, the student initiate, huh?
Yeah, they're very awkward about it, especially the older you get, the less you should touch your teachers. That sounded weird.
No, I know what you mean.
Teachers don't like it when students try and physically interact with them because it puts them under suspicion, right. I guess.
Yeah, everything's a lawsuit waiting to happen, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Also, extra credit is not allowed in most classes anymore, so don't bank on that for your grade. Some teachers still give it, but they're not supposed to. Yeah. Okay, that's basically my advice in class. Have fun.
That's great. Thanks so much for talking to us. It was fascinating and great advice.
Oh, one more piece of advice for students. Try and learn valuable skills on your own because the school will not teach them to you.
Yeah. Okay. That's a great one to end on.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Jane. It was great to talk to you.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
All right.
Thanks, Jane.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.